Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 16th, 2019, looking at the first portion of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. So I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was carried up to the third heaven, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a man was carried up into paradise and heard inexpressible words that a man cannot possibly speak. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except about my weaknesses. Indeed, if I wanted to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from doing this, so that no one will think more highly of me than what he sees in me or hears from me. Therefore, to keep me from becoming arrogant due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, so that I would not become arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me, and he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" This is the word of our God. Paul basically gets to the end of chapter 11, and he keeps on writing. Obviously, they didn't have chapter divisions, and those were added later, as were the verse divisions. But Paul keeps on writing, and he's like, oh, wait, but one more thing. There's one more thing. If we're going to be boasting, let me boast just a little bit more. And he boasts about this vision that he has heard about, this man who has caught up into the third heaven. And sometimes these enumerations of different heavens can be a little confusing. So when you talk about the heavens, we're just, think of a different word that the Greeks would use for sky. The first heaven would be the place where the birds fly, the second heaven where the clouds are, and then the third heaven where God lives. We use different terms like ionosphere, stratosphere, atmosphere, that sort of a thing. But all Paul is saying here is that he knows of a man, whether he's talking about himself in the third person here or somebody else, he knows of a man who had a vision of heaven, and he doesn't even know the details of everything about it, whether he visited heaven bodily or just in spirit or in this vision. But the point is that this man that he knows about heard things that humans aren't allowed to hear. Whether that's perhaps in a different language, or perhaps revelations about the future and what would be happening, it's more likely that the second part, revelations about the future and the things that we time-bound creatures are not allowed to hear and aren't given insight into. We are to content ourselves with the Word of God and with the fact that our loving God holds the future in His hands, and so it would be very easy to get distracted by whatever the future holds and to take our eyes off of our responsibilities today. As time-bound creatures, we simply look at what are our responsibilities today. My vocation as a husband or wife, a father, a parent, a child, as an employer, employee, retired person, congregation member, all of those things, the different hats that we wear are the different vocations that we have. And as time-bound creatures, all we have to do is busy ourselves with those vocations. Look at God's law if you need some guidance. We'll be talking about that over the next few months at church when we talk about the different commandments of our God. That Luther's explanation to all these commandments, commandments 1 through 10, obviously that's all of them. Luther's explanation to the commandments always begins, we should fear and love God, that we do not do this, but we do that. He puts it into a third use of the law context, the law as a guide. The law is a guide for thankful Christian living. We should fear and love God, not that we are trying to earn our way to heaven, but that we are living this way out of love for the one who gave his life for us. And so in this section, Paul says, you know, I could boast about that, but that would be foolish. And even the boasting that he does undertake, he tries to minimize it. And in so doing, he also demonstrates the beauty of the ministry that God has given to him and the superiority of the ministry that God has given to him. And that's seen especially beginning in verse 7, talking about his thorn in the flesh. And this is the heart of the matter. You could look at, if you look at this section, beginning especially in verse 7 through 10, and you compare it with the opening chapter of 1 Corinthians, you put those two together and you have one of the most beautiful expositions of this theology of the cross, this truth that God chooses to reveal his glory to us in suffering, and God chooses to give blessing to us through suffering. And one would expect that if God has showered such grace and such blessing on us as to even give his own son for our life, give his own son's life to give us eternal life, one would expect that God would continue to bless us. And this is, you know, the prosperity idea, that if you are truly a Christian, then you will have a successful life. And even as Christians who know the reality of Jesus living and dying for us, even as Christians, we still get caught up in the idea that I need to keep up a good front. I need to keep up a good appearance so that others see how successful I am, or that I'm not struggling as much as I can't let them know, really, is the idea behind it. That I need to hide my struggle, because somehow whatever I happen to be going through is proof of my moral character, or my success, or my failing, or whatever, you know, however my children turn out, or whether Johnny is great at baseball, or Susie is a valedictorian, is some sort of judgment as to my standing in God's court, or my moral character, or my success as a person. And Paul demolishes all that when he says, to keep me from becoming arrogant due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I not become arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. That God's power is seen most clearly when God continues to work through weak people like you and me, through weak scenarios and situations like diagnoses and sadness. And that this God is still our God, whether we feel like we are in the pit of despair or at the mountain peak of joy. And God's words to Paul here are the same as his words to us. My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, people have spilled thousands of pages of ink trying to decipher and decide and discuss what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And the only things that we can say about it are twofold. Number one, it is some sort of physical malady, that it affects his physical life. You know, maybe it's painful, like something like arthritis or malaria or epilepsy. Maybe it's hampered eyesight. I've done a little bit of reading on this, and I've heard everything from epilepsy to hemorrhoids. Yeah, people get a little silly with this, I suppose. But all we can say is, number one, it's some sort of a physical malady. And it's an ongoing, it's kind of a chronic thing that doesn't go away, or it hasn't gone away during Paul's life, as far as we know. And then secondly, that this physical malady makes Paul think, or tempts Paul to think, that God is still holding a grudge against him, or that Paul is still feeling guilty, or still is guilty of something. And there are maybe, you know, people look to little hints within the writings of Paul and within the book of Acts. Like, for instance, they would say on Paul's first missionary journey, they get to the coast when they land in Asia Minor, and then they go immediately up into the mountains, because down by the coast it's much more humid, and up in the mountains it's a little bit drier, and that was easier for Paul. Well, maybe, you know, after they get off of Crete, and then they sail across to Asia Minor. Others would say, look at all the times that Paul seems to be just dictating a letter. And he refers to people who are, you know, taking dictation for him, and kind of sets off the last, you know, last chapter, the last few verses of a letter saying, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. It's the distinguishing mark of all of my letters. And some would say, maybe it's an eyesight thing, or maybe it's related to his hand strength. And thanks be to God that he doesn't tell us what Paul's suffering was. We're here in these words. Every Christian can say and recognize their own reflection. Look at your own life and your own pain, your own suffering, the row that you've had to hoe, you know, for the last 30, 40, 50 years. Look at your lot in life where it seems like or it feels like your best of intentions have been misconstrued and taken advantage of. And the temptation, looking at all that, is to wonder, does God really care about me? Or is God going to punish me? Is he still holding a grudge and holding me, counting me as guilty? And God's words to Paul are the same as God's words to you and to me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That God focuses on his grace. His grace means that your sin is forgiven and that God isn't holding a grudge against you. And that secondly, God wants to work through your weakness, whatever form that weakness happens to take, whether something physical, emotional, just one aspect of everyday life. God wants to work through that weakness, that pain, that suffering, and use you as an example of his grace and his power, that this God still watches out for you, still cares for you, still has promised you all the treasures of heaven in a pain-free eternal life there. And so, take a moment to think of somebody that you can encourage with that truth, that even though we are weak, our God is strong, and our God wants to work through and in and during our weakness to demonstrate his grace to us again, that his love surpasses our current scenario or setting, and that his power will one day turn all of that upside down and make it but the faintest of memories. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollinsvania Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Instagram. Just search for @RaisedWithJesus. Same one as Twitter. And if you get any benefit from this show, this podcast, be sure to rate us on iTunes or give us a like, a comment, and share when this shows up in your Facebook feed, or recommend it to a friend. If you find an episode that really speaks to you and speaks to where you're at, then you know, use that little share link, whether on the computer or on your phone, to share it with a friend. God bless your day.